The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "No disciple is above his teacher, no slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher. For the slave, that he become like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more those of his household? Therefore, do not be afraid of them. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Two very important moments in the life of my family, and I have a big family of 9 brothers. My mom has 39 grandchildren, so it's, especially for an American family, that's pretty extraordinary, no? When my father retired and my brother retired. So when my father retired, I think it's a misnomer in this sense that we can never say we're not doing anything. Even the person that says he's not doing anything is sitting there thinking about something, right? So you really can never say, "I'm not doing anything." Problem is, are we doing God's will? That's the big question, you know, are we doing God's will? And on a personal note, my father and my younger brother, they retired, but what they did was they start to build Catholic schools. So starting to build Catholic schools. So my father ended up by building a Catholic school in New Hampshire, which a few years ago was the best Catholic school in the state academically. And it was because of my father. And it's basically, if you've ever been to New Hampshire, a rather poor town in New Hampshire. Then when my brother retired, he was able to retire young because he sold his business and he made enough money to be able to support his family. What did he do? He built another Catholic school in New Hampshire. And one of the reasons why is because he's got 8 kids and he's worried about the educational system. So in our family, there are the three pillars. In our family, it's God, family, education. And they think that that's for you, God and family. Education is important. And they think that's one element of Couples for Christ that we're working with is these are good people, but still there's a lot of education that has to be done, even in ourselves. We have to keep growing in education. So now that you finish one stage in your life, this stage, I really believe it's going to be the best stage. This can be a stage where you're moving from a more active life, maybe to a more contemplative life. You know, we're always busy. We're always running like a chicken with his head cut off. We're always moving at a very fast pace. Fulton Sheen says, and you've heard of him before, he says the faster the people drive on the highway, the less they know where they're going in their life. And I think there's something true about that. The more fast we go with activism, the less we really know what is the purpose of our life. So I'd like to make just three suggestions. The first is, are we to decide now to really try to go deeper in your contemplative life, in your prayer life? I've noticed from experience, and I'm older than you, I've noticed from experience, if you put God first, He opens up the doors. If you have that philosophy or theology, if you put God first, then He opens up the doors. So try to put God first. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be given you besides. So put God first. And all of us here are trained in Ignatian spirituality. When you're doing your daily exam, and even some of the tried and true salty experts here, like Mary and Eric, you might ask yourself, today, did I pray better than yesterday? What would happen if you kept praying better and better and better? When you die, I think you'd be ready to be canonized. No? So you might examine your conscience on, hey, am I really growing in my prayer life? No? So that's the first thing. Second is, you're given a huge mission territory for Couples for Christ. I think you really have to pray over that, because you got thousands of souls that are there. Thousands of souls and many families. Pray to the Holy Spirit so that the decisions you make can save as many families and souls as possible. It's called the Magis. The Magis means the maximum. Your decisions, how can this save as many souls and families as possible? And begging for grace and light to make that very important decisions to bring these souls to Christ. And you know, I'm giving marriage retreats now in the parish. I gave one last Sunday, and the church, the whole church was packed. I've got one tomorrow, and I've got one the following week, and it's in Spanish, and I'm probably going to do it in English afterward, no? Because families are going through tough times. Families are going through tough times. We've never had a more difficult time in the history of the world with respect to the family right now. So I see your group, I think, is one of the most important in the world. So let's pray that we'd be able to build upon this so we can save the family. I don't have a degree in history. I have a degree in English literature, but I know a little bit of history, no? It's this. The world civilization, the Greek, the Roman, the Mesopotamian, the Greek, the great civilizations, they fell apart when the family became unraveled. They fell apart when the family became unraveled. This is a great nation, but our families are being attacked. So, really, and I was thinking about this over the past couple months. There's something about the Filipinos that fascinates me. Why is it wherever you go in the world, you bump into Filipinos? I want to pray over that more, but there's something about that. There's something about the Filipinos where, you know, you go to Australia, they're there. You go to Saudi Arabia, they're there. You know, even when my dad was getting sick, my dad was declining, I told my mom, get someone to help out Dad. And there in the state that has least immigrants, New Hampshire, you got a group of Filipinos right near Dartmouth, no? near the Mary Hitchcock Hospital. And I said, Mom, get a Filipino nurse to help out Dad. He passed away, but if not, we probably would have had a Filipino nurse in the family helping out my father. My mom is only 5 feet tall, and my dad, not a big man, but dead weight. It's hard to pick up, no? So the fact that you're spread throughout the whole world, that means you're missionaries. Because you're Catholics. You're missionaries, and you're Catholics. So let's pray that you would really live out the missionary spirit. And these are tough times. I quoted the Beatles in the beginning. Now I'm going to quote Charles Dickens, okay, a little bit more noble, no? Charles Dickens said, the worst of times can be the best of times. He was the greatest novelist in the 19th century. The worst of times can be the best of times. And Father Broome will add a closing clause, which was not Dickens, but I'll add my own clause. If we're walking with Jesus and Mary. So if we're walking with Jesus and Mary, these worst of times can be the best of times. And last but not least, go deeper in your devotion to Mary. Go deeper. And there are two dimensions of Mariology. There is devotion and doctrine. As a whole, the Filipinos, as well as the Latinos, have a lot of devotion, but the doctrine is sometimes weak. So get to know the doctrinal statements of Mary, her Immaculate Conception, her virginal perpetual virginity, her divine maternity, her Assumption, Mary's co-redemptrix, Mary is coadjutrix, Mary is mediatrix of all graces. These are theological truths about Mary. So make Mary known and loved. Closing story. I think the first life of the saint that I read was St. Dominic Savio when I was maybe 13 years old. St. Dominic Savio. St. Dominic Savio died when he was 14 years and 11 months. After he died, he appeared to St. John Bosco in a vision. And he was bantering, having fun with John Bosco. And he said, what do you think gave me the greatest happiness when I was on earth, living? And John Bosco said, well, probably your prayer life. Yeah, but something else. Well, maybe your life of penance. You really lived a life of mortification. Yeah, but something else. Well, maybe it was your apostolic zeal, bringing so many young people to the oratory and to confession. Yeah, something else. So John Bosco couldn't think about anything else, and Dominic Savio said, I'll tell you. What gave me greatest joy in my life was my love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. You go and make Mary known and loved. So one of the goals and missions of the Couples for Christ should be to make Mary known and loved. I'm an oblate of the Virgin Mary. That's my charism. Our charism is to get as many people to love the Blessed Virgin Mary as possible. So my prayer will be that in this new stage in your life, this is going to be the best stage in your life, which you're going to become really holy. You're going to bring many souls to God. And when the Lord calls you, you will have brought many, many souls to the heart of Jesus and Mary. Amen.